MZTV.
I was watching Catherine Holmes do an interview of Wes Follenkamp, a brother from Iowa, and of course, Kath Holmes, her channel's called Kat, and she hails from Australia. She's interviewed many people in the body of Christ, a lot of the teachers. She's interviewed me, and I hope to do another Q&A sometime with her. So if you're out there, Kath, let's do it. But I saw Wes, and in the early part of the interview, Wes Follenkamp, of course, the father of Seth Follenkamp, friends of mine, they hosted a conference in Iowa a couple years ago. He mentioned a verse in Ephesians chapter 1, and he gave some insight into it that I'd never seen before. I said, how could I have missed that? I was so upset at Wes Follenkamp. No, just kidding. I was very happy about it, and I looked it up, and I said, there it is. There it is. Well, I'm going to bring this verse to you today, but I'm going to have to, it's like, where do you start in Ephesians chapter 1? I'm going to start in verse 1. And so I'm going to open up some beautiful truths. I'm going to talk about people struggle with the word forgiveness in there. So what's forgiveness doing in Ephesians chapter 1? Because we know we're justified and you can't be forgiven and justified at the same time. I'm going to explain that. It's an easy answer. And the bottom line here is we're going to look at the gospel of our salvation and what comes first, our belief or our salvation. That is a huge question. Christian religion is in complete and total darkness on this topic. Worse than that, they have it completely backwards, but we have it the right way. And we're going to delve into the beautiful details of that today. I'm Martin Sender, and welcome to MZTV. Your comments on yesterday's video were so encouraging to me. So many of you were helped, and I knew it. I knew that there's an undercurrent in the body of Christ. I mean, we're so low, and God keeps us so humble that it's hard to believe sometimes that we're loved. And the way some of us were raised, the struggles we had as children and as adults too, and going through school and everything, it's so easy to have a crappy opinion of yourself. And then you see this opposite extreme where God has this magnificent opinion of you. And it's the clash of the titans, God's opinion of you versus your opinion of yourself. But your opinion of yourself carries no weight at all compared to God's opinion of you. And so I looked at the fruit of the Spirit and the first fruit yesterday. As you recall, the first fruit is love. And if we don't love ourselves as we love God, then none of these other fruit can manifest in our lives. Talked yesterday about there was a logical progression in these nine fruit of the Spirit described in Galatians chapter 5. If you haven't seen that show, watch it. Please, I was so happy with the responses, and you keep me going with your responses. When you tell me, like, oh, Martin, I woke up feeling, like, really bad, really lousy, felt like I got up on the wrong side of the slab, and you made me smile. And this truth you're bringing out made me happy, and I felt worthy for the first time in my life. So, man, that's enough to keep a guy going for a long time. It's a vitamin pill for me. It's an energy drink. So thank you so much for that. So Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, verse 1, of course, through the will of God, to all the saints who are also believers in Christ Jesus. A saint is a called out person. It has nothing to do with your moral attainments, your behavior, nothing to do whatsoever. Saint is a noun. The adjective form of saint is holy. It's from the same Greek root, hagion. The Holy Land, it's a saint land. The Holy Land is a saint. It's sainted. Is the Holy Land a good boy or a good girl? Well, we don't know if it's a girl or a boy, Martin. Well, okay, you kind of missed the point there. It doesn't have a moral tinge to it. So saint just means we're separated to God for use. And we're believers in Christ Jesus. Because God gave us the faith to believe a message. Here comes the message. Get ready. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know I could stop at every single word and just, but I want to get to, I think it's in, yes, verse 13. If I can get down to verse 13, it'll be great. Maybe I could do the rest of chapter 1 tomorrow, but if I get down to verse 13, that's the verse that Wes Fallenkamp blew my mind on. Amazing. Grace to you and peace. Paul starts his letters this way. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things in this world not to be at peace about. But there's one thing you must be at peace about, and that is God's selection of you, his predesignation of you, his love of you, and the future that he has made ready for you. And the only thing that needs to happen is the snatching away. And Paul says in another place, whether we are watching or drowsing, we will be snatched away together with him, watching or drowsing. This is another one of the great differences between our gospel and the gospel of the circumcision. You have to be waiting and watching. Like the 10 virgins, the parable of the 10 virgins, where they have oil in their lamps and be ready when the bridegroom comes. And if they didn't have oil, in the parable, there were 5 foolish virgins, right? And 5 wise ones, and the foolish ones had to go get their oil because they weren't ready. Ooh, disaster time. The wedding goes on without them. Not the case with our gospel. I mean, I would be happy if you were all into it, if you loved it, and you all are. You're watching this show every day, so you're getting your battery recharged. You love the truth. You need to hear about it. You want to hear about it. Somebody might be looking in today who maybe hasn't looked in a while, but that's okay, because whether we're watching or drowsing, I'll put that verse down here, we will be together with the Lord. That's grace and that's peace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What, the Lord Jesus Christ has a God and Father? But that does away with the Trinity. Yes. Paul also starts many letters this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials. But we're not there yet, are we? Where are we? On the third rock from the sun. We are on earth, on this embarrassing planet. And but where are our spiritual blessings among the celestials? This is what I think. The celestial world, when he says among the celestials, he's not talking about planets or stars or meteors, vapor clouds of intergalactic space dust. He's talking about creatures, about beings. And we have every blessing among them. But here's the thing. We're going to be over every one of them. We rank higher than all of these. So when Paul says every spiritual blessing among the celestials, I think it's the sense that only among the celestials is there an awareness and a knowledge of the blessings that we have. In other words, all of our spiritual blessings are appreciated by no one on earth, including ourselves. We don't even appreciate, but it's among the celestials where the appreciation occurs, because they know who we are. How many times have I said that? The celestial world, the powerful beings who had part of the creation of the known world, the created world, they are aware of our blessings. They are aware that we will be seated at the right hand of God and that we are completing Christ. So if we could just tap, I just want to tap in sometime to the opinion that these beings have of us, because they know our spiritual blessings. But our spiritual blessings are known in that realm. We are famous in that realm. No matter how Humpty Dumpty you feel on this earth, you are famous among the celestials, and our blessings are among the celestials. We have every spiritual blessing among the celestials. I told you before about my friend Herb Dirks, the crusty German guy. There's a bunch of new people here, and I really want to tell this story again. I'll make it brief. He was a World War II. He was a prisoner of war during World War II, but he was a prisoner of the Russians. This was as a kid. Yeah, he was a prisoner of the Russians. In other words, he was a little Nazi kid back in Germany, and the Russians held him prisoner, and apparently he got hit in the head by a Russian rifle butt, and he stuttered for the rest of his life, but he was a strong, staunch believer. And he told us one time, he would come to meetings at my house. He lived in Medina, Ohio, and he would talk about how Pentecostals, I guess he, early on he was in a Pentecostal church, or maybe he had some Pentecostal friends, but everybody was telling him, you need the second blessing. Have you heard that? The Pentecostals, they really want you to have the second blessing. The second blessing is, they think it's speaking in tongues, speaking different languages. That's true proof that you're saved. And boy, when they challenged Herb on that, he related this story to us, and he said in his inimitable way, I have every spiritual blessing. I don't need the second blessing. I have every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. He would spit across the room. His face would turn red. I can't do the German accent, but he says we have every spiritual blessing. So what is, could there be any more other than every? No. According as he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world to be holy and flawless in his sight. See, in his sight. I'm always saying that. In God's sight, we are perfect. We are going to be constituted perfect one day. But because of the truth we learned in Romans 3 and 4, we're justified by faith in his blood. Then we are now holy and flawless in his sight, in God's sight. It's good enough for me. Well, no, actually it's not, because I want to be constituted holy and flawless. I'm not flawless now, but I'm flawless in his sight, but I want to be literally flawless. That's going to be a great day. It's coming. In love, designating us beforehand, there's love. This is why we have love as the fruit of the Spirit, because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. In love, designating us beforehand for the place of a son, for him through Christ Jesus in accord with the delight of his will. He does not do this for everybody. Obviously, we're talking about an exclusive body of people here, the body of Christ, called out from among the nations. The gospel given to the Apostle Paul after Israel was temporarily set aside when they crucified their Messiah. That was the occasion for the calling of Paul and the announcement of this gospel. Chooses us in him, designating us beforehand for the place of a son, for the place of a son for him through Christ Jesus in accord with the delight of his will. I've said this many times, but it's all about him having fun. This is not about you. For those of you new to this show, I've been talking for years to those who don't feel worthy. I've heard it so many times. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Why did God pick me? I'm so terrible. I'm so terrible. I can't take it anymore. It's not about you. It says it right here. He designated us beforehand in accord with the delight of his will. This is delightful for him to choose unwise, weak, ignoble, stupid people like us. He loves it. Let him have his fun. It's not about you. For the Lord of the glory of his grace. It's all about grace. So how do you show grace except to unworthy people? That's the definition of grace. Favor shown to those who don't deserve it. If you deserve it, it's not grace. But if it's grace, then by definition, you don't deserve it. So why are you, I don't deserve it. Of course you don't. It's by grace. Which graces us in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we are having the deliverance through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses in accord with the riches of his grace. Forgiveness, here's the problem some people have with this word. What's the word forgiveness doing here? We're justified. Martin, you've told us before you can't be forgiven and justified at the same time, because forgiven assumes guilt. It's like you're guilty, we're going to let you off. That is, forgive you. Justification means you're not even guilty. Okay, yes, that's all true. Don't panic here. The root word here, the word itself, is a generic word. You have to look at the context at all times. It just means to from let. Those are the elements of the Greek word, from let. To let off, in other words. To let off. So in all the ways we've offended God, we're just let off of that. And the reason we are is because it's in accord with the riches of his grace. It's the result of justification. And why? It's because this is important. In accord with the riches of his grace. This is why. Now, in the circumcision gospel, they're forgiven, but they're forgiven and they're pardoned on the heels of repentance. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness. In other words, you had to repent and be baptized or your sins would not be let off. Here, we're just being told that our offenses are let off, are forgotten, and the basis of it is not because we repented. This is the forgiveness of offenses in accord with the riches of his grace. And that's not because we repented. It's because of his grace, which he lavishes on us in all wisdom and prudence. You don't see the word prudence and lavish in the same sentence very often, but here it is. He lavishes grace on us, just like throws the whole kit and caboodle at us. A slosh bucket of grace that just keeps coming when we think, oh, we can't take any more grace. Okay, you love us already. Nope, here comes more. And we say, oh, this is so lavish. And he says, his answer is, well, it's the prudent thing to do. It's prudent for me to do this. It's like he's doing it very seriously. He's thought it through. In other words, this is not some crazy deity off the hook who just decided to give away all his grace and then look around and say, oops, I don't have any more. No, it's very prudent of him. He knows what he's doing. He's thought it through. That's what it says. In accord with the riches of his grace, which he lavishes on us in all wisdom and prudence. So he's not out of control. He knows what he's doing when he's lavishing you with grace. I would say he must have some to spare. Probably got more grace to spare. That's what I'm thinking. Making known to us the secret of his will. Making known to us. First of all, chosen in him before the disruption of the world. Verse 4, we to be holy and flawless in his sight. We. Not the rest of the world. We. Very small group of people. Then on top of that, he makes known to us the secret of his will. And the secret of his will is in accord with his delight. There's that word delight again, which he purposed in him. Here it is. We are to, verse 10, have an administration of the complement, that is the completion, the filling up of the eras. In case you don't know what that means, here's what it means. To head up all in Christ. That's the completion of the eras, the time periods that God created. The eons that God created that have a purpose to be worked out during these eons. The purpose is to bring the universe in subjection to God. God all in all through the cross of Christ. That's the purpose. Hello, Christian world. The purpose of Christ coming to earth and dying for the sins of the world is that all humanity will be delivered from the bondage to sin and death. Every single one of them. As in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 22, and 23. And read the rest of the chapter, and you get down to verse 28, that God may be all in all. That is the purpose of his will. Well, Martin, that's going to take a long time. Well, we're part of it happening. We are administering that truth throughout the universe because our blessings are among the celestials. They're all whispering about it. Did you hear what God did with those people? Look at those people. I can't believe it. The stupidest people we've ever seen. They got all these blessings. If they only knew half of them. If they only knew half of their blessings. This is incredible. I'm glad Martin Sutter's talking about this. I mean, these people are wealthy beyond their wildest imaginations. Just, this makes us look like really just bit players. We're bit players compared to these body of Christ people. I can't wait to meet these people. I'm going to be trembling. Yeah, me too. You too. I'm going to be trembling in awe and reverence when these people are snatched away. My God, we get a great view of their blessings down here. I wish God would give them a better view of their blessings down there. Well, Martin Sender's making a show. Good, 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 good. Let's watch. They're abuzz with conversation concerning us, the celestial world is telling us the secret to have an administration, like to make it happen, to administer it, to make it happen. Christ already did the work. It's signed and sealed. It remains to be delivered. We are the deliverance. We're delivered in order to become deliverers. An administration of the complement of the heirs to head up all in Christ, both that in the heavens and that on earth. As I told you many times, we are ruling not only in heaven and over heaven, but over the earth as well. It says it right here. I mean, Israel is the hands-on people on the earth, but we're in charge of Israel. I mean, they're the bride of the Lambkin. We're the Lamb. We're the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Christ is our head, but we're part of his body. Like, we're him, you see. We're him. Christ isn't complete yet. That's why Christ, longing for the snatching away, more so even than we are. In him in whom our lot was cast. Thought administration. Wow. Verse 11. In whom our lot was cast, also being designated beforehand. There we go with that again. You can say it all you want, Paul. According to the purpose of the one, capital O, who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. This is God. God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will. Why is that important? Because he's able to deliver that which he purposed for us. Because you could read this. This is fantastic. Chooses us in him before the disruption of the world. But what if Satan ruins it? We're holy and flawless in his sight. But what if we do something wrong or whatever? Or what if we come into his disfavor? No. He's the one operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. And since this is in accord with his will, our flawlessness, our holiness, our administration, our being administrators of the all in all, since all that is true, here's another little bit of information you're going to like. He's operating all things in the universe according to the counsel of his will. And these things that I'm just telling you are according to his will. So what more do you want? He's not only willing, he's able to do it because he's doing everything else. There's no way this can miss or not happen. That we should be for the Lord of his glory, verse 12, who are pre-expectant in the Christ. We have an early expectation. This it can only be in comparison to Israel's expectation. Remember, I just quoted 1 Corinthians 15. As an Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, but each in his own class. Christ the first fruit. Thereupon those who are Christ in his presence. That includes the body of Christ and Israel, but we are pre-expectant before Israel because the body of Christ has to be completed before God can pick up with Israel again. Romans 11:25. The secret of Israel's blindness, the secret of the timing that the body of Christ has to be completed, has to be filled up, the completing of the nations, the filling up of the nations, and thus all Israel shall be saved. Read Romans chapter 11, but especially verse 25. The complement of the nations. Oh boy, it's just so great. 13, here it is. I finally got to it. In whom you also, on hearing the word of truth, the evangel of your salvation, in whom on believing also you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let's slow that down. I got a couple minutes here. Sorry, I got to this right at the end, but I'll pick up tomorrow here on hearing the word of truth. What's the word of truth? We heard a word of truth before we believed it. This is what Paul said. Hearing the word of truth, the evangel of your salvation, in whom on believing also. So the believing is something that happens after we heard the word of truth, that is the evangel of your salvation. Well, Martin, what's the evangel of my salvation? Everything I just read up to this point, designated beforehand for the place of a son, lavished upon by the grace of God in all his wisdom and prudence, him making known to us the secret of his will, we to be administrators, to have an administration of the complement of the heirs in Christ, to head up all in the Christ. That is the gospel of our salvation. And since it was done before the disruption of the world, since we were chosen for this before the disruption of the world, Paul is presenting it not as a challenge, not like the Christians say, you can be saved if you believe. That's exactly what they say. This is not that. This is, you're already saved. Look at everything God's done for you. He's designated you beforehand, before the disruption of the world. That was years before you were born. Long time before the disruption of the world. The disruption of the world was the end of Eon 1. We're in Eon 3. That was a long time ago. And that's the evangel of your salvation. It's like Paul's telling you an account. He's giving you an account of what God has already done for you. On believing also, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We believe it after it's told to us. It's not like the price is right. All this can be yours. Like this is a showcase, right? And verses 1 through 12. This is a showcase. All this can be yours if The price is right. That's what Bob Barker used to say. That's what the Christians say. This can be yours if the price is right. No, Paul's saying this is all yours. Now, do you believe it? Yeah, I'd kind of be stupid not to, since you're telling me it's true. Paul says, amen, and I say to that, amen.